Yes, welcome to the dark once again. It has been a while since I've recorded an episode, and there's been an awful lot going on recently. But welcome back to the dark, because, you know, now I'm here, and if I'm not here, then you aren't listening to anything. Even Lucy the demon dog barking in the background. She's excited that we're back. This is being recorded in June of 2020. So those of you who are listening to it in real time or in the current time, you know what all has been going on. Those of you who are listening to this in the future, you can look back and go, oh yeah, that was when we were doing the whole pandemic thing. And it's also Pride Month. And there's also protests and rallies going on to bring focus to equity amongst people of color. And so, to be perfectly honest, part of the reason that I haven't recorded anything is I really didn't know what to say or how to say it. And I didn't know what I wanted to talk about. And then I decided, you know what? I am going to talk about diversity. But no, I'm not going to get into my opinions on Black Lives Matter or LGBTQ plus rights. I'm not going to do any of that kind of diversity. What I'm going to talk about is diversity in the haunted attraction industry. Now, you know, there are going to be those who are going to say, well, Scott, this is far more important to talk about the plight of people of color and the segregation and ongoing challenges of the LGBTQ plus community. And the truth is, I've said more than enough about that. If you want to know what my feelings are about that, check out my my social media, because I've been very clear. And I'm strongly in support of all of that. So I don't have to talk about that on the show. Yes, it is important, I agree. But this isn't the place for it. So let's talk about the power of diversity in the haunted attraction industry. Now, when I say diversity, I'm not talking just about, you know, racial equality. What I'm talking about is the true meaning of diversity, which by definition is just a variety of things. You know, I think all too often when we become haunters, we become myopically focused on just one thing. And unfortunately, I don't know whether that is in our best interest. Certainly not from a business standpoint, nor from an artistic standpoint. And during the course of this episode of Scott in the Dark, I'm going to try to break that down. I just realized I didn't do a formal introduction. My name is Scott Swenson. I'm the host of A Scott in the Dark, and also the owner and creative director for Scott Swenson Creative Development. Okay, now that I've gotten my own commercial out of the way, let's move in to the actual topics. So we're talking about the power of diversity, a range of different things. When we become too focused on one thing, if something goes wrong, we have nothing to fall back on. If we become focused on just one thing or one person's opinion, we end up missing out on such a broad range of other things. So what I've tried to kind of break down diversity into a couple of different categories so that we can dive just a little bit deeper into the strength that can be found with a diverse organization, a diverse haunted attraction, a diverse pool of resources when it comes to creativity. We already know in the haunt industry that there isn't just one thing that scares people. We all know that different people are frightened by different things. So why not open up our hearts, our minds, our businesses to things that are more diverse? So let's start with diversity of people. Let's start with diversity of people. If you are sitting in a room with all of the key players in your haunt and everyone looks exactly like you, you are not diverse. Just saying that right up front. And I'm not chastising you for that. What I am saying is you might want to consider diversifying a little bit more, because it will only benefit your organization. You know, what happens when you diversify the people in the lead? What happens when you make it so that you have different ages, different skin colors, different genders, different gender identities, different sexual orientations, different whatever, any way you can find a way to sort of shake up the mixed bag? What does that do for you? How does that benefit you? Well, first and foremost, it broadens your audience. It makes it so you can make more money. How? Well, because if you've got a broader a more diverse leadership group, you're going to have connections to a much broader sense of community. You know, you're going to be able to tap into a bunch of different special interest groups that may think of Halloween or haunted attractions as a secondary thing, but it's important to recognize that people like to see and experience things that focus on people that look like them or think like them or sound like them. So it's going to allow you to appeal to a much broader audience. And let's be honest, you know, the number one way to sell a haunted attraction, to advertise a haunted attraction, is through word of mouth. So if you can get into these smaller communities and these smaller chunks of the human species, you'll be able to get a much, much stronger word of mouth and certainly a much broader audience. Now, the interesting thing about haunted attractions is we have a tendency to market towards exactly the same audience over and over and over again. And that may be different for each haunt, so I'm not going to get into that too deeply. But here's my recommendation. Find an audience in your community that's underserved. You know, if that is people of color in your community, there's no haunted attraction that's actually marketing directly to African-American people or to Hispanic people or to, you know, Haitian, I don't care, whatever, people who ain't pasty white. If you can find that group, you may be the first haunt that's ever really targeted them. You may find things that are specifically going to work for that group, and that will expand your audience base. And what happens when we expand our audience base? We make more money as a haunted attraction. And especially now when, you know, who knows what this season is going to be based on the COVID-19 stuff, who knows where we're going to go. So my recommendation is open your eyes and sort of target those groups that you haven't targeted before. You know, maybe you go after senior citizens. Maybe you go after a different age demographic. I know we always target our market at, you know, what is it? 13 to 25 or 18 to 35 or something like that. I don't know. But why not go in and target the senior group and say, hey, remember when Halloween used to be fun? Well, we've made it fun again. And see if you can get some of those folks my age and older who remember when trick-or-treating was cool, when it didn't happen out of the trunk of a car, when it actually happened when you went and knocked on the neighbor's doors. Or if you were like me, you finished your neighborhood and then you got your parents to drive you to the next neighborhood over and you trick-or-treated that whole neighborhood as well. And then you came back with so much candy you, like, you know, were set for months. But the idea is broaden your mindset, broaden your leadership group, and in turn broaden your audience, because that kind of diversity is going to put money in the bank. The other cool thing that happens when you start broadening your people base or become a more diverse group of leaders is you start to explore different ethnic folklore. There's some folklore pretty much in every culture that is so darn cool and so darn creepy that you're foolish not to explore it, not to look into it. And who's the best person to find out, like, Hispanic folklore? Someone who was raised on it. You know, go to them. Let them share their culture with you, and you might find something really amazing. And in turn, you're diversifying your audience base and you're diversifying your leadership base. So, you know, get out of the mindset that the only thing that's scary is what happens in my mind, okay? Because again, it will benefit you as on the whole. What else? You know, the other time that we get a little bit lost when it comes to diversity is when we start looking at who makes the decisions in a haunted attraction. And I just discovered a whole new phrase that's probably going to be, you know, old to some of you, but it's new to me. And that is avoid the HIPPO principle. The HIPPO principle, H-I-P-P-O. And that is avoid only enacting the highest paid person's opinion. It's not just about the owner. The owner obviously has the decision-making power to veto pretty much anything based on pretty much anything. But the smart owner is the one who is going to at least listen to and start to enact some of the ideas from their diverse groups. And when I say diverse in this particular case, I mean diverse as far as where they fall on the food chain of the particular organization. Whenever you do internal focus groups, make certain that you have frontline represented, make sure that you have your costume team represented, make sure that you have security represented, make sure that you have your operations team represented, and, you know, probably the least important person is the person signing the checks. Because you know what? You can always add your stuff on top. You can always add your sauce to the incredible meal that has been created by your team. So try to avoid the HIPPO principle and make certain that you have diversity when you are planning, diversity when you are discovering new ideas. Because again, we're going to be doing a lot of planning this season. We're going to have to find new ways to do a bunch of different things. So make sure that you get diverse opinions. I would even include guests as well. There's a bunch of online polls out there. Many haunts are doing them, and I think that's absolutely brilliant. Many haunts are reaching out to their guests saying, what do you expect this season? What must we absolutely deliver in order for you to show up at the end of a pandemic, or perhaps in the middle, depending on where the numbers continue to go? So I think it's important that we get diversity, not only of ethnic background, but also of where they fall within the organization. Everything from the guests, who really are the bosses if you think about it, but from the guests to the front line, to the managerial side, to the upper management, to the owners. Get a very diverse group there, and that kind of diversity will, again, help make a better product. Let's be honest. Part of the reason that the haunt industry should be one of the most diverse industries in the world is because we are all kind of outsiders to a bunch of people. And some of us revel in that outsiderness, and some of us have found some sort of respite or camaraderie in the haunt world, because we feel like we don't quite fit in everywhere else. We're just a little bit darker, a little bit creepier, a little bit stranger than other people. And when we find our After Dark family, we have discovered that that is what brings us together. This goes back to something years and years ago. I had a lovely, lovely conversation with someone who I've just reconnected with, and that's Sydney Neal. And Sydney was all about creating a place where everyone belonged, no matter how different you felt outside because of, again, the color of your skin, the language you spoke, whatever. The haunt industry was a place where everyone could come together and be accepted, be loved, and where your freak flags were not only flown but saluted. So, in my opinion, the haunt industry has the opportunity to be one of the most diverse industries in the world. And if we embrace that, and if we invite in people who are different from us to get their opinion, to get their take, to get their expertise, then it's just going to make us better. Sorry, I sound like a broken record there, but I want to make sure that I get that point across. So I'm going to drive it home about 15 or 20 more times. How does that sound? Good. Okay. How many of you actually answered? That's the funny part to me. I've had people say, gosh, Scott, when I listen to your podcast, it's sort of like I'm riding to work with you sitting in the front seat of my car. And I just wonder if anybody ever actually talks back. I bet you only talk back when you disagree with what I said. I bet that's what happens. You know, it's like, no, Scott, you're an idiot. Yeah, well, I'll give you an opportunity to say that several times. Or you can just nod. I'm okay with that too. So let's talk about, you know, I mentioned a little bit earlier that haunted attractions, when they're successful, they use a diversity of scare tactics. You know, you can't always do the same. You know, if you did an entire haunt that was nothing but drop doors, it would be a really dull haunt, because you've got to have different things to scare different people. So when you are working on your haunted attraction, when you're designing your haunted attraction, go to diverse disciplines to figure out how to get the scare. And this is going to be especially true now because, again, a lot of us are going to have to rethink the way that we have done haunt before. And if you're looking for a case study, I drive everyone right now, and most of you have probably already discovered it because it's been all over the internet, but there is a beautiful, phenomenal, well-written, incredibly information-packed report from Fear Factory out of Salt Lake City, Utah. Just search Fear Factory. Go to their website, and you can. They're giving it away free to haunters. Their case study, and it talks about how they planned to make their post-COVID-19 haunt more successful, and who they met within the government, how they rethought different parts of their operation, how they are cleaning things, what they discovered. And they actually did it. They did a Halfway to Halloween event where they were open one night, which, by the way, sold out. And in their incredible support for the haunt industry, they are making this information. It's a 60-page report with everything from sample graphics to some of the coolest personal protective equipment built into masks and makeup I have ever seen. I just had the great opportunity to do an interview, which is part of Haunt Connect, actually. But I did an interview with Spencer Terry, who's their general manager, and he was so gracious to share everything. Now, there is a recording of that out there, so you can go ahead and find that as well. But if you want the hard copy, just go to their website, and all they ask is that you fill out who you are, because they want to know who's using this information. And I will be honest, I've actually shared it with people outside of the haunt industry because it's that well done. So if you're looking for a good sturdy case study of what can be done to make haunted attractions safer, check it out. But if you're looking at trying to find ways to scare within your own group, look at the different disciplines within your creative staff. Look at things like your scenic department. You know, maybe you say to scenic, okay, here's your challenge. I want you to make this part scary, but the most important thing I need you to do is make it so that we never have to touch anything. Do it scary that way. Or talk to your lighting department and say, I'm reducing the number of actors because I don't want so many people in this area. What can we do with lighting that's going to make people scream? And by giving these kinds of challenges to a diverse group of disciplines, you're going to find a huge number of great new ideas. One of my favorite teams to turn to, actually, is the costume department. I love to go to the costumers and say, I want, every time this costume is seen, I want someone to scream. What can you do to make that happen? And you'd be surprised. Quite often, I've had a costume team come back with a costume that doesn't necessarily make people scream, but it does make them want to throw up. And I'm okay with that. I'm just as good with that as I am them screaming. So as long as we get some sort of visceral reaction. And what's interesting is after you send them, you know, after you send this all out to all of your different experts in the different areas, then when you bring all those ideas back together, then start what I call the yes and process, where someone says, yeah, well, we can build this one wall that has three air cannons in it that that will never touch the guests, but will make them scream. And then your actor folks will come in and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you make those triggered so that we can have our actors have a foot trigger and they point to where it's coming from and it comes from there. So that way you have a distraction on one side of the pathway and the actual scare on the other. And then the costumer will come up and say, hey, that's really cool. And what we'll do is we'll make the costume for the actor something that blows in the wind. So as that blast of air comes, it actually gives a physical reaction to the performer. And then your lighting designer adds, you know, yes ands that, and brings in the idea of yes, and I will add a change of color. You know, I'll make all of a sudden the room gets blue, so it somehow gets colder whenever that blast of air, or appears to be colder whenever that blast of air comes. I don't know. I'm making this stuff up, but my point is, if you've got a diverse team of diverse experts, you can come together and create some amazing new ideas. Now, not only should there be diversity within your own team, but recognize diversity within different industries. Look to related types of things to haunted attractions. You know, if we just constantly keep going to haunted attractions to get new ideas for haunted attractions, we'll just keep doing the same five ideas over and over and over again. And especially now, again, looking for some safer ways to do things, look at how other organizations that are similar to yours are handling either COVID-19 or involving people on an emotional level without having them touch anything. some suggestions are things like theaters. You know, I mentioned earlier that I shared Fear Factory's report with the Tampa Theater here in Tampa. They figured out, well, gosh, we know how to socially distance or physically distance people in the theater. Our challenge is, how do we get them in and how do we get them out? Because they're all coming in and they're all coming out at the same time. And if you think about it, that's really no different than the queue situation at a haunted attraction. So I shared a haunted attractions report with them so that they could take a look at it and go, well, here's how this haunt's doing it. Maybe we could find something that inspires us. Also take a look at theme parks. Obviously, some theme parks are doing really well, and some theme parks, from what I've seen that have been opening, are doing less. The other thing that you have to look at are restaurants. You know, how are restaurants handling people? I know that I have now been out twice, and like I said, this is June. It's the middle of June, so I have been out twice to restaurants for meetings and that sort of thing, and I take responsibility for myself, so I try to physically distance myself as best I can within the restaurants, but see what they're doing, you know, and some of them are doing nothing, and some of them are doing a whole bunch, but at least you have an idea of what is expected in your market. You know, go to the local theaters that are open, go to the local restaurants that are open, if you have local theme parks, go to them and see what they are doing so that you understand what the guest expectation is when you get there or when they get to you. The other thing that I think is really important is, not only do guests have high expectations, they also need to know what you're doing, what role you're taking. So again, this is something I learned or was reinforced to me in working in another industry, which was the aquarium industry. I had the Florida Aquarium, which is one of my ongoing clients here in Tampa, have me come in and take a look at all of their COVID-19 signage. And because I wasn't involved in the creation of it, and they know that I have a pretty decent eye, and I said, you know, the only problem I see is that it looks like all your other signage. Make it stick out like a sore thumb. So make it so that every time you're making a COVID announcement, that it, instead of being on the beautiful blue signage that all the rest of your signage is on, that it's on something that sticks out, like put an orange banner around it. Again, going back to Fear Factory, they did a red, like banner, like line, like bar across the top of all of their posters, all of their print ads, that said what the COVID-19 expectations were and how they were going to enforce them. And they enforced them very, very strongly. I'm not going to steal thunder. I want you to go and read the whole report, but they made that communication very, very clear so that guests coming in can know what to expect. And you wouldn't ever get that. You wouldn't get that perspective if you didn't look at a diversity of industries and a diversity of organizations within your own market. Also, you know, I've already talked about this until I'm blue in the face, and that is, don't panic, pivot, but offer a diversity of product. Offer a diversity of product. You know, obviously the low-hanging fruit there is other holidays. You know, do a Christmas event, do a halfway to Halloween event, do a summer event, do a Valentine's Day event. There's nothing better. I mean, let's face it, drive-in movies in the 50s were all about how to get your partner to cuddle up under your arm and bury their face into your shoulder when something scary happened. So, oddly enough, fear and romance have a very strong connection. But I digress. But again, diversity of product, look at other holidays. And the other thing, again, look at classes. Look at classes. People are looking to do stuff. And even if you can offer online classes right now, do a Zoom class in makeup. Do a Zoom class in some sort of make and take prop building. I know that Haunt Connect is doing all kinds of online stuff right now, which is really fun, and I'm glad to be a part of it. But, you know, you can do that for your own haunt as well. And it doesn't have to just target other haunters. You can target your clientele. Find out something that your guests want to learn how to do and teach them how to do it online, and then find a way to monetize it. And it may be just part of your marketing budget. Maybe now is when you know, do an online makeup class for anybody who wants to watch it. You can make it 40 minutes, so you can do it free on Zoom. And it just keeps your name out there. And then what you can do is just ask people to, buy their tickets early, or you know, give you some sort of money up front so that when it comes time for the attraction to open, that you've already got some startup cash. But that's, those classes are a diversity of product. Another diversity of product that I'd like to talk about for just a moment is rentals. You have a facility, or most of you have a facility. If you own your own facility, obviously this is an opportunity for you. But even if you don't, I have a suggestion as well. But if you own your facility, open it up for parties. There's a bunch of freaky people out there who aren't necessarily involved in the haunt industry who would love to have their birthday party in the lab of Dr. Rip 'em Up and Bleed or whatever, whoever your characters are. If they are Dr. Rip 'em Up and Bleed, I'm really sorry, because that's probably the dumbest name I've ever come up with in my life. But it's, find a way. Now watch, this season, someone's going to do the House of Dr. Rip 'em Up and Bleed. Oh, please don't. For your own sake, please don't. But anyway, use your space. If you have a space, use it for rentals. That's completely fine. Right now, another thing that's just starting to come back online is the film industry. And they're looking for places that can be controlled. If you have film quality scenic, talk to everything from your university film department to your local film commission and see if you can find ways to rent out your space so that they can use it to make movies. Another thing, and this is one of the things that I think is absolutely brilliant, and again goes back to the diversity of industry that I was talking about earlier. Here in Tampa, the marquee at the Vintage Tampa Theater, the beautiful antique Tampa Theater, the marquee is incredibly well-known, and it's gorgeous, and they have just recently invested in a great way to program it. It's basically a bunch of jumbotrons, so they can do color and movement and all kinds of stuff on their marquee, and yet it still looks like an old vintage movie house marquee around the outside. So it's amazing. And for those of you who don't live in the Tampa Bay area, if you've ever seen a movie theater marquee that says Tampa, that's the Tampa Theater. It's used all the time to represent the city because, again, it just says Tampa in such big, bold letters. But what they've discovered is they can actually generate revenue by renting out the marquee by the hour. And one of the first markets that started it was the graduation market. Since all of our high school and eighth graders and even college graduates didn't get a chance to walk the aisle, what parents started doing was contacting the theater and asking, can we rent the marquee to say congratulations to our son or daughter? And sure enough, they did. And it has been a great way, since again, theater hasn't been able to reopen to its full capacity. It's been a great way for them to diversify their product and generate revenue. I mean, let's be honest, a theater never set out to say, yeah, we're going to be a message rental space, you know. And if you make a large enough donation to the theater, they will actually send a professional photo crew to go out and take a picture of it and send it to you. So you can even do it if you're somewhere else. But it's TampaTheaterRE.org if you're interested. And they're great people. They're very exciting. But it's just another idea of diversity. You may be able to do that on your own website. You know, maybe you have your own character create some sort of, you in essence rent out the marquee of your website. You can have your own character lean on a sign that says, happy birthday, mom. You know, I know my mom would hate every minute of that, but there are moms out there who would love it. And so I think that's certainly an opportunity. I think you have the opportunity to have to rent out your characters. To rent out your icon characters, to do either short videos, you know, or phone messages for people, because your fans would love that and they would eat that up. And it also advertises for you. So those are some examples of diversity of product, you know, the don't panic, just pivot kind of things. How many times can I say that too? Don't panic, just pivot. Diversity equals strength. Yeah, okay. I'll just keep saying it. So the idea being that a diversity of product gives you more revenue streams. So if one of them dries up, you can just shift. Diversity, Diversity in itself allows us to be stronger than the sum of our parts. Whatever each one of us brings to the table, it contributes to the overall well-being. And when it is all focused on just one person or one idea, then you may be very successful, but you're also leaving something out. So open up your minds, open up your hearts, and the only way to make diversity work is to find those voices that are left unheard or that have been ignored for so long and bring them to the table. Elevate them to a point where they can be heard, they are important, they do matter, and that way they can be part of the conversation and it will just make us all stronger. So this is a relatively short episode, and that's because I don't want to get too preachy too late, but I think it's important to talk about this and to find out that diversity just makes us better. People have asked, you know, where have I completely dried up and disappeared? No, I've been doing a lot of other things. I've been pivoting. And if you go to, for example, right now I just updated my website. If you go to scottswenson.com/art, you can see a bunch of the artwork that I've been doing. I've been doing a lot of paintings since I've been put away. And I'm looking, hopefully, sometime before the end of the year, to do an actual art show somewhere. It may be part of a larger convention, or it may be an independent show. But keep an eye out for that. So that's coming up. We're putting the final touches on a new book, and by we, I mean Philip Hernandez and myself. And so keep an eye out for that. That will be coming up very shortly, I hope. And I have been confirmed. I am going back to my first trade show, finally, and that will be, and I mean, barring any other unforeseen circumstances, but I am currently booked to be at the IAPA Expo in Orlando, and I am teaching a class on creating immersive theater, writing new worlds, and I'm very excited because I'm actually team teaching it with, or I'm scheduled to team teach it with some of my friends from Scatter Brothers Productions, who do 360 video. And we're going to talk about how writing for immersive theater is very similar to writing for 360 video, because, again, you're creating worlds and you're creating stories that take place all around us. But that will be in November of this year. And don't panic. There'll be plenty more mentions of it because, you know me, I self-promote whenever I possibly can. So I guess, I guess that's about it. I hope everyone is doing well. I hope everyone is staying safe. I hope you're taking care of yourself, and I hope that no matter what your views are, that you are planning to get ready to vote and make your voices heard so that whatever your views are can be represented in the government that represents us all. Wow, this has been a very preachy episode. The next one will be silly and fun, I hope. So anyway, that's about it for now. Until next time, this is Scott Swenson saying, rest in peace.